I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This evening at 7 at Joseph Beth at Brookwood Pavilion, Gabrielle Zevin will make an appearance. Gabrielle's new book, The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, tells the tale of the owner of a quaint New England bookstore who learns, as the sign above the porch of his store says, no man is an island, every book is a world. The novel shines a light on the bookselling and publishing community and the people who get books in the hands of readers. Besides Gabrielle, here in the studio with me are Craig Poplars from Algonquin Books, which published The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, and Michael Link, Publisher Relations and Events Manager at Joseph Beth Booksellers. Thank you all for being here on Cincinnati Edition.
It's great to be back. Thanks,
hey.
Mark.
Thank you.
I'll start, I guess, before I pull you in, Michael, I'm going to start with you, Gabrielle, to talk about the author and the story and your book, The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey. This, for me as a reader, shows a great love of books and reading because you have the whole bookstore in the novel, I guess you could say. Where did this idea come from?
I've been publishing books for about 10 years now. My first novel I sold about a decade ago. And, you know, this has been a time of enormous change for the book industry. And I think I write books about things that have happened to me or things that worry me. So I kind of just wanted to write a book that talked about why bookstores mattered. And secondly, how the stories we read define our lives, you know.
Well, I'll turn to you, Michael, because you're the one who suggested this conversation, because this book ties in so well in revealing what goes on when a book is being sold to a bookstore. But how would you direct this business of bookselling conversation? I mean, you start with the author. Where does it go from there? And who should we throw it to Craig real quick? How does it go?
I think so. I mean, Craig can certainly talk a little bit more about from the author to the page. I think what's interesting about this book specifically is there is a very deep love of reading, of books, of bookstores, and the work that we do putting books in front of people. And I think it's really accomplished because I think one of the big questions about a book like this for a bookseller who reads it is, will it resonate with non-booksellers? And the answer is a resounding yes. We've seen that for it came out at the beginning of April. The booksellers loved it. I've been part of conversations with customers who have come back in specifically to the bookshop to talk about this book with us. So and Craig can talk a little bit more about picking up this book, and his passion for it was really contagious. And that's what led to a lot of us reading it. And then our passion becomes contagious for the readers who pass it to their friends, et cetera. But maybe Craig can speak a little bit more about finding the book.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, Craig, because this is something that I know this is one of many stories that probably you go cross your eyes, if you may.
Yeah.
And you know, when you see a great story like Gabrielle's The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, you know, how do you sense and know that that's the story that you can bring to the page and to the bookstores, then that readers will love it?
I think a lot of our business is based on relationships, and there's a great sense of trust when you're bringing a book out to market. I mean, I've known Michael for a number of years when he was a bookseller in Washington, D.C., and it's a very, very cloistered community, so there's a great sense of trust. So when you read a manuscript like this and you get excited about it, that's really not enough. You can come up with a marketing campaign that says we're going to advertise in the New York Times, we're going to put the author on tour. But the real heart of marketing in the book business is really the connections that we as publishers have with the bookselling community, specifically the independent bookselling community, because they really have an idea of what they can move in their own communities. And so my first job, is to get that manuscript out to some key booksellers around the country. I know Michael was, I think I had 30 booksellers that I called specifically and said, hey, will you give this a try? You know, let me know what you think. And the response from people like Michael, booksellers around the country, were like, Craig, this is a big book. This is a book that we can cherish and we can share with our customers. I don't think there's another industry out there where you do something like that, where for us as a publisher, we feel like we have a lot of missionaries out in the field that want to spread the gospel of the book. And that happened with us several years ago with Water for Elephants. Mm-hmm. When we brought that out, it was the same scenario. I read it in bed. I was excited about it, but it wasn't until I heard back from the independent booksellers that said, we can run with this. We can make this our own. And so in a lot of ways, those independent booksellers are incubators for bestsellers. They're the ones that know, and they know how to be able to put it out there. So in a lot of ways, it's that relationship we have and the sense of trust we have with them and that they have with us.
We're talking about the business of bookselling and booksellers. You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, or email us talk@wvxu.org. And so you get pitched this book, Michael. You read it. How do you handle these book reps? Because I know you, like I, have many people knocking on your door. Hopefully you handle it better than AJ did his first meeting with Amelia when she comes to the store to try to sell her books.
You know, and that's, I think, perfect in a lot of ways, that first encounter. Because it's true, you do sometimes there's a book that'll sit on your shelf for way too long, and when you pick it up, it's the right moment for it. And I think that today, especially when we talk about what's sort of in the news with bookselling now, a lot of people think it's antiquated. A lot of people look at the prospect of, you know, Amelia, you mentioned, who is a traveling sales rep. She travels via ferry and quite some ways to talk to one person about a handful of books. And that one person is often, you know, I don't read this. I don't read this. I don't like short stories. I don't like, and that can be a bit of a mechanism. And so, as Craig mentioned, the prospect of trust, what we found is a lot of our readers who are already fans of Gabrielle's previous books, as she mentioned, she's been publishing for over a decade, came to it very naturally. Our booksellers, Craig reached out to us. We read it, passed it along. This the advanced reading copy was highly sought after. And then the booksellers naturally said, we're going to pick it for our book of the month. We're going to put it all over the store. And that's not even enough for this one. We're going to say, we have to sell at least 100 copies this month, which is considerable, to our customers, and work towards that goal. So it was something that they loved so much, and they saw a little bit of themselves in, but also something that they could taste make to the customers, to the point that they wanted to go full out on it. And a lot of our booksellers had, of course, read Gabrielle before and were fans. But I think that this is it's a special book. And at a very interesting time in publishing, independent bookstores are growing. There's more members of our professional organizations now than in previous years. People are looking for that. And some of the news today about some of the bigger online retailers trying to flex their muscle and slow delivery of certain titles to show what they can do. And that's really the antithesis of what we're doing. We're picking individual books and trying to put them in the right hands at the right time. And so many of us at Joseph Beth think that Gabrielle's book is the right book at the right time.
Speaking with Michael Link from Joseph Beth Booksellers, also in the studio here, Craig Poplars from Algonquin Publishing, and author Gabrielle Zevin, her latest book, The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, in bookstores now. She'll be at Joe Beth tonight at 7 in Brookwood for a signing and a talk. And Gabrielle, initially, I was a little put off by A.J. Fickrey. He seemed like a snobbish bookseller, and I've run into some of those in bookstores I've been in.
But I said I was sorry.
but the more I read, the more I really appreciated his point of view. And I know from a story, I think it was in Publishers Weekly, that you talked about this had a little bit of at least an inkling from a book rep that you ran into along the way.
Yeah, you know, a lot of publishing people and a lot of booksellers that I've met over the years are very much like A.J. Fickrey. And I will tell you, I don't think that's a bad thing. We need people to tell us what is good and what is not. Mm-hmm. And I've been on the side of what is not, probably, with some of my books. And I'm actually okay with that. So I appreciate the sort of great reaction we've had to this so far. But, you know, we rely on our booksellers as curators. People don't like you to throw around the word curation that way. But in fact, you know, there's something like 350,000 books that are going to be conventionally published this year, and then another 350,000 books that will be self-published. And so how do we choose among them? Everyone thinks they're like a great driver, and everyone thinks they're great at picking books. But in fact, it is deeply helpful to have someone who knows something about the process of choosing books to choose one for you. I read a funny anecdote in a book called Adrian John's Theory of the Book, or History of the Book, I think it's called. And he talked about when printing first happened, everybody freaked out, and because when you printed something, it made it true. So they wondered if, in fact, printers and publishers should kind of be licensed in the same way that medical doctors were. And I think that's an interesting thought as we look in. I think I believe in the expertise of the bookseller, even when I'm on the side of it that means they don't pick my books.
Well, in the book, you also you take a couple of pokes at writers because A.J. Fickrey, of course, well, I mean,
A.J. does.
Yeah.
Oh, A.J. A.J.'s opinions are not always my own. There's a disclaimer right in the back.
They do not necessarily reflect the pen of the author. But I found it interesting and, well, it looks like you were more sympathetic to the booksellers because you talk about authors of being narcissistic and, you know, not being great personalities because AJ's brother-in-law is a writer who writes what AJ considers less than
viable. Right, you know, I'm actually very sympathetic to authors being one. Imagine that. That's crazy. And empathetic with them. But I have to say something that worries me as we have more and more authors on social media, I worry that what happens is that people start buying books as a tribute to the fact that an author is likable on social media. You know, I know for a fact that a lot of beautiful books come from deeply unpleasant people, and a lot of mediocre people and unpleasant people write mediocre books. And I still want to read the like amazing books by the jerks, you know?
Right.
So I do worry about that a bit.
Well, and I'll turn to you, Craig. When it comes to you're fighting, you talk about social media, like Gabrielle brought up, that it is a changing scene, and the role of an author has changed quite considerably since the days of Hemingway, if you may.
Yeah, I definitely feel that we ask as an industry more of our authors than ever before. I think traditionally you could put an author on a 10-city tour, and that was basically it. And you'd hope for the interviews on NPR. But now social media has played a part to where it's like they need a platform. They've got to be able to sort of connect themselves to the readers. And so it's very interesting. And you see this. But at the same time that the complexion of the industry is changing, there are still these traditional ways that I think all of us in the industry won't let go of. And I think it's that connecting, that personal level. Like when you go into Joseph Beth, and I've known one of the booksellers there for years, Michael Frazier. This guy can hand sell books to his customer like nobody's business. And knowing somebody like Michael, there's that sense of trust that when those customers go into the store and they look for Michael specifically because they want to know what Michael's recommending now. You know, that is amazing that you still have those, you can call them antiquated ways, but I just think they're very smart ways of doing business. So there has been, with the rise and the emergence of the ebook and online retailers, but there's still this great sort of old-fashioned way in the book business, and which is very refreshing for many of us.
Yeah, and if I can jump in just on that, one of the things is, you know, Craig mentioned that I've known him for 13 years, something like that. When I came to Cincinnati from DC, that was one of the first things that really blew me away was people that I knew here from other walks of life who had come here. They were like, oh, well, Audrey's my bookseller. Michael's my bookseller. And it's on some level, you know, as Craig mentioned, you could refer to that as high touch, labor intensive, old fashioned. But what it's really more about is it's about having that relationship. And that's a lot of what people are responding to with localism movements, shop local, support your local small business. It's knowing that somebody is doing the work that they do before things get to you. Nobody has time to read the 700,000 books that will be published. But when you walk into an independent bookseller, you know that there's going to be a level of decision-making first. You know that there's going to be a heavy presence of local authors, of local products, and there's going to be a choice, a consideration that's being made. So when a book that we get very excited about, be it The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, be it The Good Lord Bird, or mm-hmm. or anything else that we get very excited about, we've read it. We're making the decision that when we put it in your hand, we think maybe based on what you've told us, maybe based on the fact that other books that we've given you that you've loved, this is something that you're going to enjoy.
Talking about the business of bookselling here on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, 513-419-7155. One question off the computer screen here. With so many online sellers selling so many book downloads for less than $5, how do you break through with traditional print? And is that something, as an author, you think about, Gabrielle, as you're, the competition? Mentioned 700,000 books a year coming out and flooding readers' eyes. You know, is that something that gives you pause?
I think about it a great deal. And I don't think any author that wants to publish, say, contemporary literary fiction can afford not to think about it anymore. The kind of books I want to read and the kind of books I want to write are the kind of books that end up in independent bookstores, in local bookstores. And really, so to go back to that issue of sort of curation, the curation matters, and it doesn't actually happen on the E-level as much.
Right.
I think a lot of ebooks, having talked to a lot of people about this issue, and I have nothing against ebooks. I read them, though I do find that I forget more quickly what I've read in e. I don't know why that is, but
there are scientific studies that show
right.
that.
So I read in e occasionally, but I do know from talking to teenagers. I was at the Kent State Teen Book Festival yesterday for whatever reason, and a lot of them who buy an e, when they really love a book, they then want to go to their bookstore and buy it in paper. They like to have these books almost like kills, or like trophies, that kind of thing. So I think we're all having an evolving relationship with E right now and what it's going to mean in the long term. But I happen to believe that the sort of fate of the books I want to write and I want to read are deeply tied to the fate of local bookstores.
And I'll turn to you, Craig, to ask. I know a lot of people aren't aware of just how vicious bookselling can be when it comes to the big chains versus the independent bookstores and the big publishing houses versus something smaller like Algonquin. Right. There's a real tug of war going on.
Well, it's interesting. I think, when you're in publishing, it's almost like a vocation. I've been with Algonquin for 20 years now. And I have friends, very, very good friends, that work at Random House, Simon & Schuster, Houghton Mifflin. And there is a community there. There used to be that sort of Barnes & Noble versus the independents. I don't think that's there anymore. There is that tug of war. You can read about it today with Hachette, which is one of the big six publishers, at fisticuffs with Amazon right now because of what Amazon's demanding from them. So I think that's where the real struggle is now, is publishers with Amazon pushing them for higher discounting and everything like that. But I think there's a great camaraderie in our business, more than any business, that all the publishers realize that we're all in this together. And we're aware. I mean, we're watching Gabrielle's book, The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey. 60% of the sales of that are ebooks. And that's typical. That's typical for fiction. But those ebooks, that all began with what was created on that independent bookstore level and sort of that pass along and the talk that began there. Ultimately, people are going to make a decision if they want hardcover, paperback, or e. But nothing begins as an ebook. And so it's very, very interesting. I don't see so much a divided publishing industry so much. I think everybody is collectively trying to figure this out together, and it's very, very exciting. And in fact, I think a lot of publishers have thrown themselves back into the independent market in the last 2 years than ever before. They have really immersed themselves with the independents because the independents have figured this out. And that's very, very exciting to see.
And on something like an author event like this evening, there's no way that Craig is a publisher or Gabrielle is an author are going to make enough money from this event to cover the cost of coming here.
Mm-hmm.
They do it to support us. They do it so we have we'll do the work, like, you know, talking to you about the importance of this book and how good it is, to get some media out of it, to increase sales. But it's part of the relationship. It's part of the high touch piece of it, and it's part of what people want to do, and voting with their dollars to have a bookstore in their community.
It's great stuff. Love the books. Keep it up. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Author Gabrielle Zevin, her latest book is The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey. She'll be at Joseph Beth Booksellers Rookwood this evening at 7 for a signing and talk. Details about the book and the event at WVXU.org. Also in the studio, Craig Poplars from Algonquin Publishing and Michael Link, Publisher Relations and Events Manager with Joe Beth Booksellers. Thank you all again, and thank you all for listening. You've been hearing Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Technical director was Kevin Rowinski. Producer was Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Science Friday coming up next on 91.7.